Well, coming up on today's show, the Renault Zoe climbs to the number one spot in Germany. Over 78,000 EVs sold in China last month alone. And why Tesla might have a near monopolistic hold on the electric car market. Well, first of all, good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Monday, the 23rd of July edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. We're going to start with a name you might not have heard of and a car that you might not have seen many pictures of, but if you drive in a city, it might just make a lot of sense for you. You may soon see the little electric runabouts flitting around European cities. It's called the Micro Lino, and some call it flat-out adorable. It's a modern riff, according to CNET, on BMW's iZetta. If you remember that, it's the little bubble car. So it's three-wheeled, it's got a front door, and the whole front swings open. Then you climb in the front of the car from the 1950s. That's according to Chris Pocket at CNET. Micro Mobility Systems, the Swiss electric scooter company behind the project, has announced that the under 8-foot-long Micro Lino has just passed its final tests for EU homologation. It's now road legal in Europe, and the version that starts off the range is an 8 kilowatt hour battery, and that'll get you 78 miles. Then there's a very sizable 14.4 kilowatt hour battery. I mean, that's huge. I'm being sarcastic, which manages 125 miles. Might not seem like particularly impressive figures, say CNET, but they should be plenty for city-minded vehicle owners. Yeah, if you live in a big city and you need to dart around town, fit in those tiny parking spaces, even the parking spaces where you just drive straight in to the car, into the curb, like the G-Wiz. I see so many of those still flying. They haven't been on sale for a while, but I see loads of them flying around in London, and so many of them are just parked straight into the curb, as in not parallel parking. They just drive so the front is into the curb, because they're so short that they are shorter than some cars are wide. Very useful in the city, and you might see more of these Micro Linos flying around. Well, staying in Europe, and the German plug-in car market figures in June are now out. 23% it grew, the plug-in market, in June, with 5,709 registrations. Plug-in hybrids up 25%, full BEVs, full battery electric vehicles, up 21%, growing at a similar pace. In 2018, all electrics are 1%, and plug-in hybrids are up 1%. That's 2% of the entire car market, according to Jose Pontes for Cleantechnica. But the most interesting story, he says, on the fuels mix is the Titanic-like drop in diesel vehicle sales. In June, their sales sank. Diesel sales in 1 month alone tanked by 16%, the most popular EV in Germany so far this year. In the first 6 months of the year is the Renault Zoe. Just a little note on those diesel sales, by the way, and the total mix of fuels, just to bring you up to speed if you're new to the podcast, or just new to maybe you're listening in the USA, you worry about what the fuss about diesels is about, where it's a tiny percentage of total the total car market, or total vehicle market, really, is diesel. Here in Europe, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I say, when the focus really turned onto CO2 emissions, one way to reduce CO2 from your car is to drive a diesel, because they're more efficient than, well, at the time, they were more efficient than running on petrol, on gas, and therefore, if you're using less fuel, then there's less CO2 emitted. So in order to get us all to drive diesels, it was the first diesel I ever bought, was a diesel Golf, because my running costs, for instance, the road tax, my annual road tax, which we have to pay here in the UK, on an Audi TT, I was paying, towards the end, hundreds and hundreds of pounds, because it was on the CO2 of a ridiculously large turbo car. And then when we moved to more of a family car, and we bought our very first diesel. We bought an automatic diesel Golf Blue Motion, so it was the one with the stop-start technology, so it was always turning itself off at lights and all that kind of stuff, and it had the low rolling resistance tyres. And at the time, a relatively green car in 2010, but it was diesel. And the road tax on that, from hundreds of pounds, went down to £20 a year for us, which is insignificant. That's a couple of coffees and a snack, right? And so it made such financial sense because of so many incentives that governments, not just here in the UK, but all around Europe, were trying to get people to move to the diesel cars in order to meet the CO2 targets, which all the governments had signed up to in Europe to lower their CO2. So to hit those targets, they thought we'll get everyone to drive diesels. Now, down the line, we see the horrific impact of NOx and the nitrous oxides and the effect that it has on health and public health. And you just see those study after study of how many people are so poorly affected by diesel. It's just sickening, really, how bad the problem is becoming, particularly with more asthma in children, more people dying every year from diesel emissions. And so those diesel sales went up to 50, 55%, even more in some markets around Europe. So big markets like France and Spain, Italy, Germany, the UK, all big diesel markets, right? And then recently, thanks to electric cars, you've seen those diesel sales just falling off a cliff. Here in the UK, it's happened. It's Germany, it's happened. Some other markets, it's happening a little more slowly, but it is happening. Month on month, there's just diesel sitting on forecourts because nobody wants to buy them. Let me tell you a little story from a group of friends that my wife and I had lunch with recently. They are not car guys. They have nice cars, for instance. They live in London. Having a car is ridiculous in London anyway, but they know that the make of the car, they bought one of them bought a convertible because it looks cool. Right, no offense, but I mean they're not that like most. Right, that's they have that level of knowledge about the car. So even they were saying to me over lunch, and they don't really know what I do for the podcast, and in terms of, so they were telling me about electric cars, and I was like, oh yeah, that's interesting. Okay, tell me more. And I was doing a little survey of my friends who I was catching up with hadn't seen them in a few weeks, and they were saying to me, well, you'd never buy a diesel now, would you? And I said, why is that? And they went, well, you can't drive them in cities. And although that's false, that's the perception they have from reading the mainstream media. So these are people who just like read the daily paper, look at the websites. When they come to buy another car, the last thing they'll buy is a diesel. But they were super interested and curious about electric cars. Their straw poll at the time that I asked, their favourite was the BMW i3. So these are 30, 40-something people who live in London, by the way, pretty kind of affluent jobs, pretty switched on, sort of tech-savvy people, but they were looking at the BMW i3 as the next one, which I thought was kind of interesting. So that's the diesel story here in Europe. If you're listening in the USA thinking, why are they always talking about it? It's because it just took over for the last 15 years, and now it's just a crazy drop how quickly people are going, I'm not going to buy one at all. Well, staying here in Europe, and let's go from Europe to China for a second, because let's supercharge the numbers we just heard. In total, 78,260 new energy vehicles were sold in China last month alone. It's the world's largest plug-in car market, with 373,000 cars sold in the first 6 months of the year, according to Mark Kane at Inside EVs. And if you look at the track of how the trend is going up month on month, even though we've done less than 500,000 and we're 6 months in, this could be, if sales increase the way they are in China, the first million EV year in the world. It'll be in China this year. We could see a million EVs sold in China. So again, it's that thing to remember. Sometimes somebody will say to you, oh, well, EVs aren't a big deal. You know, it's a 1 or 2% of the market, because maybe in the country that you listen to this podcast in, they haven't caught on yet. But you look at somewhere like China, and this year there could be a million of them sold. And that's going to start happening where you're listening really soon. Let's finish off with three Tesla stories, by the way, actually. The first one is, let's do four, because I love this story. MSN.com have a new piece of information about the police force in Luxembourg. The police in Luxembourg have added two Tesla Model S's to their fleet, hoping that their speedy acceleration will be what they need to catch the crims, whilst also cutting their carbon emission footprint. Yeah, if you're trying to get away from the police and there's a badge on the back of their car that says P100D, you might as well just pull over and give up now. The next story that Raul Hernandez comes to us from is according to a team of Berenberg analysts who have been led by Alexander Heisel. They've been looking at the EV market around the world, and they've come to the conclusion that all of Tesla's competitors, even though they're talking a good game at the moment, have a low-risk, low-investment strategy. That's according to Berenberg when it comes to EVs. And they say that's why Tesla is in the driving seat for the next couple of years. They say this, and I quote, "With no clear pathway to high-volume EV production for these OEMs, the traditional makers, before the mid-2020s, they're looking at 2025, Tesla has a near-monopolistic opportunity to gain market share and outcompete the incumbent automotive industry. Tesla, Panasonic continue to exhibit a clear advantage on cell pack technology compared to all peers, on chemistry, cooling and cost, write Berenberg. And they say Tesla's small and actively tube-cooled cells, which are not currently replicated and unlikely to be be so by competitors, drives significantly better residuals for cost of ownership advantages too. Well, Tesla, they've run the numbers on this, they've had a guess, are going to invest about $33 billion into EV projects within 5 years. Does that sound about right? Well, Giga 3 in China is coming, okay? They know there's a new facility because Elon's confirmed that Model Y won't be built in Fremont, okay? And more gigafactories around the world, the next one being in Europe, possibly even Germany, announcement by the end of this year. So maybe that $33 billion does sound about right. That, by the way, it's 40% more than the combined investment so far of Daimler and Volkswagen combined. Well, there are those the Berenberg figures, whether you agree or disagree with them. Two more stories then, and Kyle Field at Cleantechnica has got himself a Model 3. One of our early reservations turned into a car this week, he says, as we took delivery of the Cleantechnica Tesla Model 3 at the Tesla Santa Barbara showroom. It's a long-range black Model 3 with the premium upgrade package. Nice, Kyle, nice. You have spec'd that in the design studio beautifully. Not what I would have gone for, not that anybody cares, but mine is white on white. So if I want the white interior, I'd have to order a Tesla Model 3 Performance because that's the only way to get the white interior, but I totally would do that. Black and white, simple, monochrome, and just beautiful. White outside, the white interior, and if I could, all the little black bits as well. Anything that's inside the car, maybe some of the detailing, the console, armrests and things, I'd have them all, like every little bit I would have done white, and of course, no leather for me in the car, if possible, as I'm a bit of a tree hugger. Well, he says this, let's talk looks. I know everyone likes the looks of the car, especially the dash. Not everyone likes it, rather. He says, I absolutely love it. It feels high-end and sleek on the inside, and it makes me smile every time I get in. It's simple enough not to feel cluttered, but still manages to do everything I need it to do. And I would agree with Carl there. Everything that I think is intuitive about getting in the car that is, you know what I mean, like old style, like old tech. So the stuff they haven't tried to redesign, like windows going up and down, like, you know, it's not like they're using some kind of crazy hand gesture, voice activated car, lower the window like you would with your Amazon Alexa. Things like moving the seats backwards and forwards on the motors and the actuators underneath the seats, just really standard little buttons there to move the electric seats. And yet the things that they have innovated on, like the air vent, beautiful. How could you not love that? The single screen, the 15-inch beautiful screen there, and the way that the software is designed, super intuitive. And I totally agree with you. It does everything you expect it to do as a car, and yet it's simple. Wonderful. Right, final story as well on the Tesla Model 3. YouTuber Marques Brownlee had his chance to test drive the Model 3 Performance on track, and he pointed out an experimental track mode that takes the gloves off, according to John Fingus at Engadget. The in-testing feature switches on stability control and powertrain settings configured for track driving. And it's no secret what that means. Drifting, bit of understeer, bit of oversteer, and pushing the electric car past the limits that its stability control would normally do to keep you on the straight and narrow if you're driving like a moron on the roads, or a bit of a hoon for any Aussie listeners. It's not certain if that's going to reach customers, though. Maybe this will stay in beta. Maybe it's a test. Maybe it's a thing they gave Marques to play with. However, maybe, as Elon's talked so many times about the Model 3 being up against BMW M3, being up against things like the Merc, like the fast sedans that it's up against, like the AMGs, then maybe that will be available in the performance cars. Man, I would love it to be. It's a novel concept. Many cars have the ability to turn off traction control. In fact, more recently, many cars have the ability to turn down. Even if you press the off button, it's still there, just to protect you from your own lack of skills, if you know what I mean, on a wet road. It's very rare for a car now to totally turn off all traction control. It serves as another signal that Tesla's interested in EV performance beyond straight-line acceleration. Right, what are we doing? 14 minutes in, 5 minutes just to wrap up and a few of your comments. Thank you so much for a couple of recent reviews. I want to say thank you to Dave, or Dav NYE, from Australia, and says our government is stuck in the dark ages. I never miss an episode of the podcast, though. A perfect way to hear the latest without time wasting. Thank you very much for leaving that on the Australian iTunes portal. Hi to Philip Moroz, who left this on the UK iTunes. I'm a big fan of the podcast. You keep me up to date on the commute every day. And this one left on the USA iTunes. Thank you, Martin. It's the best way to keep up on top of the day's electric vehicle news, and it's worth the time. A few nice reviews. Thank you so much for saying that. Hi as well to Michael. Michael Rose emailed me yesterday evening because we've been talking about the Neo. The Neo EP9 is the crazy long, crazy wide, crazy fast electric car from Neo. And I was talking about the sills, because the sills, when you lift those doors up, and I saw at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, the kind of gullwing doors that go up, the sills that you have to straddle to get across, there's no graceful way of doing it. You got to kind of sit your bum on them, swing your legs over into the cockpit. They're huge. You'd get two more people sitting on either side of the car. Well, he says, I thought you'd like to know why they are so wide. It's because they house the battery packs and the BMS. There's one per side, and they are hot swappable. Although, when you say hot swappable, you're not talking here about whipping out a laptop battery. It's 20 minutes to swap them out. What this does, though, is give the chance to be charging a pair whilst using a pair. And this info was from the guy looking after the EP9 at Goodwood that he spoke to. The Neo ES8 is going to have a hot swappable battery as well, but be designed to be much, much quicker, to be done in 2.5 minutes at a service centre. Michael says, great podcast, by the way. Maybe a bit more information about big commercial activities. Okay, thank you, Michael. I shall bear that in mind. And thank you so much for emailing hello@evnewsdaily.com. That is hello@evnewsdaily.com. If you want to send me an email, a feedback on any of the things that we talk about, and you want to add to the discussion, I would love to hear from you, by the way. And thank you so much for so many of the YouTube comments yesterday, not because I happened to mention it was the big 4-0 for me yesterday, and lots of people saying happy birthday. That is very nice. Thank you very much for that. But also the comments that were coming in on yesterday's podcast. I mentioned that the Porsche, I think they're called turbochargers, which is weird because turbochargers is a term from the ice age. You know, a turbocharger is from a combustion engine. So if they're calling their version of superchargers, which I guess is also a term from the ice age, turbochargers, I get that. These are the 800 volt chargers that Porsche, with their proprietary connector, if I can say it, is going to be at every Porsche dealer. And also, I mentioned that I read in this press release they were going to be made available to Taycan, you know, the new Porsche, what used to be called Mission E. It's now called the Taycan, spelt Taycan, but pronounced Taycan. It's going to be made available to buyers at their home if they want it. And I was saying, well, that's crazy. Why would you want to charge to 80% state of charge in 15 minutes at your house? You would do it far slower, that just rather than doing that. And John Sylvester dropped into the YouTube comments to just let me know that, by the way, it would be, for most people, prohibitively expensive to put that charger in to their house. No distribution network operator, he says, would allow you to draw 843 amps at 415 volts on a three-phase network. He says there are two options available. Connect directly to high-voltage transmission lines with its high connection cost. Yeah, that would be mega money. Or charge a stationary battery at your house, as large or larger than the car's battery. Spread that charge over many hours. And if Porsche owners who are spending big money on a Porsche also want this fancy system in their garage, well, then they can also charge from the battery, dump that power into their car, 15 minutes, 80% state of charge, and off they go again. I think it's a weird thing to have in your house. It's more about having them in places when you're on road trips, but Porsche buyers are spending lots of money. They can probably have what they want. Well, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for those reviews, by the way. If you want to drop by any of those places like iTunes and leave a little star rating whilst you're listening to this, that would be super, super cool and really useful. And I'd really appreciate it, actually, because it helps the algorithm. There's 188 episodes of the show, all available in the archive now and for free, and always will be free, even if other bits of this we'd start using this to make some money somehow. I don't know, maybe one day. But the podcasts themselves will always be free, and the archive will always be online for you. iTunes, Google, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the blog at evnewsdaily.com. If you are a subscriber, again, it's free, so you get them first and automatically. And if you want to come and hang out on the social, search EV News Daily to find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.